If you're like me, you've always wanted diamond stud earrings, but the price and the fear of losing them has stopped you. Last Valentine's Day, this deal was so hot, it sold out midweek. Earrings for only $79. These earrings are made by Eden Pure's sister company, Lindenwold Fine Jewelers. This offer is only good for this week, and shipping is guaranteed before Mother's Day. Go to diamondxl.com and save $120 with code word GRACEDIAMOND. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Curley Show. It is Friday, Junior, and OMG, we have a lot to talk about. This is going to be a really, really fun show. I know that because this is already a really fun news cycle, and it's been only a couple of hours, and I feel like my cup runneth over as far as these reactions. If you are just tuning in and you have been under a rock for the past couple of hours, which is good for you, congratulations, but you have missed a lot. Elon Musk has offered up a bid for Twitter, to be more precise, a $41 billion bid. And the responses, the fallout, the reactions to this, it's nothing short of perfection. I couldn't have asked for a better news day as far as...
Oh, let me taste your tears. Your tears are so yummy and sweet. Oh, the tears of unfathomable sadness.
There's going to be a lot of tears. I haven't seen this kind of reaction since Hillary lost her well-deserved title as president. Now, let me start by saying you are welcome to call in. It's 844-500-4242. We have a lot of great guests planned for this show who have expertise when it comes to Twitter, Elon Musk, freedom of speech. We're going to talk to Jack Posobiec. We're going to talk to Brandon Morse. And, of course, we have Woker Joke. So the show is going to be riveting, if I do say so myself. But also, it's going to be primarily focused on this. This is the biggest story of the day. Now, let's kind of backtrack here. So Elon Musk buys a bunch of shares. I think he was the largest shareholder at like 9.2%. And then he joins the board. And then he decides to reject the board seat. And everyone was kind of saying this is a smart move because if you're part of the board of Twitter, they put a lot of regulations on you and, you know, you're part of the managerial class of it. And then, you know, there's certain things you can and cannot do. So his rejection of the board seat was seen as a smart move by a lot of people who were confident that Elon Musk could change the game as far as freedom of speech and, you know, making Twitter a little bit more fair, a little bit less concerned about Russian disinformation, if you catch my drift. And then we get the news this morning that he has offered to buy Twitter, and it's all starting to make sense. I want to start by reading you the letter that he put on his Twitter page for all of us to see. This is to the chairman of the board. He says, "I invested in Twitter as I believe in its potential to be the platform for free speech around the globe, and I believe free speech is a societal imperative for a functioning democracy." Right there, you know that he is going to be enemy number one of the liberal media elites because they would disagree wholeheartedly. In fact, they think that free speech is detrimental to our democracy. They think democracy dies in darkness, and also democracy dies if Elon Musk brings free speech back to Twitter. So the two now couldn't be more at odds. However, he writes, "Since making my investment, I now realize the company will neither thrive nor serve the societal imperative in its current form. Twitter needs to be transformed as a private company. As a result, I am offering to buy 100% of Twitter for $54.20 per share in cash, a 54% premium over the day before I began investing in Twitter, and a 38% premium over the day before my investment was publicly announced. My offer is my best and final offer, and if it is not accepted, I would need to reconsider my position as a shareholder. Twitter has extraordinary potential. I will unlock it. Elon Musk. I also want to add in here, at the bottom of this document that he put up on his Twitter, it says it's a voice script, and it says, best and final. A, I am not playing the back and forth game. B, I have moved straight to the end. C, it's a high price and your shareholders will love it. D, if the deal doesn't work, given that I don't have confidence in management, nor do I believe I can drive the necessary change in the public market, I would need to reconsider my position as a shareholder. And then below that, he says, this is not a threat. It's simply not a good investment without the changes that need to be made. And those changes won't happen without taking the company private. And lastly, he says, my advisors and my team are available after you get the letter to answer any questions. There will be more detail in our public filings. After you receive the letter and review the public filings, your team can call my office, my family office, with any questions. Now, Twitter is meeting at 2 o'clock. Twitter is meeting at 2 o'clock. And what I would do to be a fly on the wall, that is going to be like the place after Hillary lost the election where they were all there for like a party they thought they were going to be celebrating. And it ended up all of these staffers and, you know, liberal, woke, progressive crybabies just had complete meltdowns that night. I have a feeling that's what's going to happen on Twitter.
In my safe space.
My safe space.
Release the emotional support puppies, because Twitter is about to be a Charlie Foxtrot. And it couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of people. I was thinking about this because it kind of ties into what we've been talking about a lot with Disney and how these companies are fine virtue signaling, but they're not as fine putting their money where their mouth is. And it's not the company, I think, that people should be worried about if you're a big liberal who doesn't want, you know, real stories to get out there to the American public. If I were working at Twitter, and, you know, these people are they're horrified. They're horrified that Elon Musk could be in charge of this company. And like all the people who threatened to move to Canada, if Trump won, they're threatening to quit. They're having breakdowns on Twitter, about Twitter. And I just thought to myself, they better hope that the shareholders are as woke and as committed to this virtue signaling agenda as they are. Because for some people, it's nice to be part of a woke company, but if you get offered a lot of money, money trumps the wokeness. Not to throw Trump's name in there and really give them a spasm, but money trumps the wokeness. So this might not play out well for these Twitter employees. Now, I think out of all of the tweets, and it's going to take me a long time to unpack all of the reactions to this, because you have the reactions from the mainstream media, like the Joe Scarboroughs, they're all freaking out. You know, this is a threat to democracy. But I think the funniest one was actually from Max Boot, because Max Boot, who writes for the Washington Post, he wrote, I am frightened by the impact on society and politics if Elon Musk acquires Twitter. He seems to believe that on social media, anything goes. For democracy to survive, we need more content moderation, not less. Now, naturally, he got ratioed for this. Here are some of my favorite responses. For democracy to survive, we need fewer voices in the public square. That is essentially what he is saying. And a lot of these people who don't like a billionaire getting involved in a company like this work for Jeff Bezos. I just want to throw that out there. Just a nice little reminder. But people were great today just commenting on this and trying to break down how this is going to play out. Clay Travis wrote, I expect Twitter's board has been furiously searching for an additional bidder since Elon Musk began purchasing his shares. Absent a second bidder, Musk has won no matter what the board decides. If they reject him, he can buy the company at market or put together a coalition. The board may well say they believe the bid undervalues the company and attempt to stall for an additional bidder, but Musk can call their bluff by forming a coalition of shareholders to accept the offer via proxy, or he can buy control himself on the open market. he wins absent higher bidder. In other words, how do I put this in a way that's okay for the radio? He's got him by the cojones. Is that's fine, right? Yeah, he's got him by the cojones. And he's a billionaire and he's smart. And you know what? A lot of people out there, I know conservatives, this is like a classic conservative thing. And I don't blame people. They're very smart. They're breaking down, you know, the fact that now the world has become billionaire versus billionaire. I understand. But with that being said, can we just have a moment? Can we just take a victory lap with the mere fact that for once in the last like 15 years, there's a billionaire who's on our side? And I know Trump as well, but Elon Musk, as far as billionaires go, he makes Trump look like, what does Nancy Pelosi call it? Peasants. He makes Trump look like a peasant. This guy has a lot of money. And I think it's pretty cool that he is so committed to free speech, and he could transform not only Twitter, but he could transform politics. This is a huge, huge deal, and I don't think I'm overhyping it. And Axios already has a piece out, the world's richest man, someone who used to be compared to Marvel's Iron Man, is increasingly behaving like a movie supervillain, commanding seemingly unlimited resources with which to finance his mischief-making. Mischief-making is now promoting free speech is considered mischief-making. And maybe here's another really funny one. Jeff Jarvis. I don't know who half these blue check marks are, but one thing I do know, their blue check mark is their favorite thing in the world. And I know that's funny coming from me because I wanted a blue check mark for so long. But when I tell you that these people live and die for Twitter, I'm not exaggerating. It is the biggest part of their personality. It is their most prized possession. And now they're struggling with what to do if they are forced to leave Twitter and move.
Struggling.
Forced to leave Twitter and move to Canada to escape the wrath of Elon Musk, this mischief-making supervillain.
We do have an update. First domino down. Saudi Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal al-Saud, one of Twitter's largest shareholders, rejects Elon Musk's bid.
Okay. Well, we'll keep everyone posted on the rejections. So Jeff Jarvis, I don't know who this guy is. He writes, today on Twitter feels like the last evening in a Berlin nightclub at the twilight of Weimar, Germany. And Stephen Miller wrote, one of the greatest tweets of all time. Bask in this. It's like a comet. We may never see this again in our lifetimes. And that's just one. I mean, there have been so many people who are losing their minds. Carol Roth wrote, I'm going to leave Twitter if Elon Musk takes over is the new I'm going to move to Canada if Trump wins. Can we get a follow-up with those people? Did they move to Canada? That would be a no.
Just take Blue Origin up to Jupiter and you can hang out with Cher.
I would love for someone to explain to me, though, how making sure that certain people are not allowed on Twitter, whether it be Juanita Broderick or the Babylon Bee or Donald Trump, how that is preserving our democracy. Like, what is the... Max Boot is so smart. You know, he's way smarter than me. He works for the Washington Post. Break that down for me, because I don't get that. It does confuse me. 844-500-4242. We will be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Like Marilyn said, diamonds are a girl's best friend. Ain't that the truth? If you're like me, you've always wanted diamond stud earrings, but the price and the fear of losing one has stopped you. Well, last Valentine's Day, this deal was so hot, it sold out midweek, so don't hesitate. You can get a 1-carat stunning diamond alternative pair of earrings for only $79. Yes, that's right. Each 1-carat making it a total of 2 for only $75. $79. The quality is amazing. A regular diamond has 58 facets, but the Diamond Excel earrings have 106. This gives you more sparkle, more brilliance, and more beauty than a genuine diamond. I love these earrings. I wore them this past weekend to go over to my in-law's house, and they really just make every outfit look cuter, and they just make you look fancy, even though if you lose one, you don't have a panic attack like you would if it was a real diamond. They've been in business for 54 years, and they have over 8 million satisfied customers. You have a choice between silver or gold vermeil, and they come in a beautiful black velvet gift box, which is perfect for Mother's Day. You'll be the favorite if you get mom a pair of these earrings. This offer is only good for this week, and shipping is guaranteed before Mother's Day. So go to DiamondXL.com and save $120 with code word Grace Diamond. Shipping is free. That's DiamondXL.com, code word Grace Diamond. All right, everyone. We're talking about Elon Musk. The blue checks are melting down. It is so... It's a glorious day. It truly, truly is. I hope everyone is soaking this in. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, if Elon doesn't end up buying Twitter, and I know we hope he will, but even if he doesn't, don't let them take this moment away from you where Max Boot is tweeting out how democracy dies if there is freedom of speech. Because it really does expose how broken people are, how formerly serious people are now calling for censorship as a means of preserving democracy. I didn't think it would get here, but now that it has, I'm just enjoying it, okay? So do what I'm doing. Sit back, pop some popcorn, and watch the meltdown unfold. Let's go to Eddie. You're first up today. We're going to take a lot of calls in this first hour. Go ahead, Eddie. What do you think?
Yeah, Grace, you're looking good today. What I think is this. They don't care about the social media accounts of the massacre in Waukesha, Wisconsin. They don't care about Frank James making threats, you know, death threats, actual death, and then going ahead and carrying them out. But Tucker Carlson, Donald Trump, oh, that's a threat to democracy. They, a lot of people are going to die. Yeah. Well, you know, the double standard is just too, you know, clear to see. You know,
absolutely.
About social media, just when it goes their way. That's it.
Absolutely. Great, great points, Eddie. And I'm glad you brought that up, because just think about the Russian disinformation, the Hunter Biden laptop. That all ended up being true. Why do they have to censor that? Whose lives were saved by them censoring that, except for Joe Biden's political life was saved? It's all about politics. It's all about the narrative. And they really care. And I'm glad you brought up Frank James, the nutcase who allegedly shot up the train station, the subway station a few days ago, because we listened to some of his YouTube videos yesterday. He's talking about a race war. He's talking disparagingly about Donald Trump, about Jewish people, about white people. And he's fine. But Howie Carr interviews Dr. Scott Atlas, and that gets us taken off of YouTube for a couple months. It's so skewed. It's almost laughable at this point. And so now all these people are saying, this isn't just about Twitter. This is a public health hazard. This is about civil liberties. No. This is about you being afraid that next time there's a big bombshell story, you won't be able to take it off Twitter. That you won't be able to get all your stories trending. That you won't be able to censor the Babylon Bee for writing a story that makes you feel bad. For writing a headline that makes you sad. That's what this is all about. So save the whole democracy dying, people dying, public health, all that crap for later. Because by the way, the other disinformation that they've been censoring, usually it comes true in about 2 weeks. Everything with a vaccine that was disinformation, anything Rand Paul said, anything Scott Atlas said, that all ended up becoming true. Tom Cotton, all these fringe people, that all ended up becoming true. So the only disinformation that they care about is inconvenient information, to quote Evita Duffy, who we had on yesterday. Dave, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, love your show. I look forward to it every day. And your production team is definitely top shelf.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You threw something out there about billionaires. How come no one ever talks about George Soros and all his money and what he does with it and where he spends it and what he spends it on? And what he spends it on affects our politics and policy.
Yeah, and the DA races across the country and why we have such soft-on-crime policy all links back to George Soros. And by the way, the reason people don't talk about it, Dave, and I know you know this, you're asking rhetorically, is because he is a progressive billionaire. And if you're a progressive billionaire, that's okay. And Elon Musk isn't even conservative. I think he's a libertarian. But that's too much for the blue checks. We'll continue with this. We'll take your calls. It's 844-500-4242. Taking calls this whole first hour.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back. Jared, can we hear a little bit from one of the gatekeepers of truth, one of the censorship, blue check, brilliant minds that we are so grateful for, and also one of Jeff Zucker's henchmen. Can we have a little bit of Brian Stelter, please? Cut one.
If you can't beat them, buy them. Elon Musk is saying Twitter needs to be transformed. So he's offering to do it. He's offering to buy the company for about $43 billion and take it private. Make no mistake, this is a hostile takeover bid rattling Silicon Valley. This is higher than Twitter's closing price on Wednesday. It's a lot higher than when Musk started to buy up shares in the company. The stock was up big in pre-market trading, but it has largely leveled off. It's clear that some investors are not taking this very seriously, but the Twitter board has to. Musk putting it simply in a tweet saying, I made a bid, but it's not simple at all. He is saying to the Twitter board, take my deal or I might sell my shares and tank your stock. So the board of Twitter is in a very public fight with the richest man in the world.
They're in a very precarious situation, aren't they?
Go there.
And even worse for fake news, that's not what Musk said in the tweet. He said, I made an offer.
Yeah,
not a bid. So even there, they can't help themselves from misrepresenting what's happening.
Editorializing his offer. By the way, Brian
Stelter.
There's no
time for potato heads.
Brian Stelter seems like he's a bit rattled. I hear a little bit of nerves in his voice. There's been a lot of funny comments. Glenn Greenwald wrote, canceling my commitments for the day so I can watch liberals become more unhinged, hysterical, and panicked over the prospect that they may not be able to wield censorship power on Twitter. It's only 11 a.m. on the East Coast and we're already at Nazi analogies. Yeah, it usually takes the left like a couple of days to ramp up to the Nazi analogies, but this whole situation has them so unhinged that they've already just... they just gone straight to it. You know, Elon Musk said, I am not playing the back and forth game. I have moved straight to the end. They have moved straight to the end of their craziness. And another thing I wanted to let people know is that on today of all days, if you can believe this, when there's a few other things happening in the news that might distract people from the investigation that we've all been waiting for months now, turns out that the Border Patrol agents accused of whipping Haitian migrants last September have been cleared of criminal wrongdoing, but remain under an administrative investigation that could cost them their jobs 6 months after the initial probe began. So now we find out they've been cleared of any initial wrongdoing. Today of all days. Just something that I think is worth considering. An interesting timing of that, wouldn't you say? So let's keep going over this. I mean, I would love to see this happen. I don't know if it will, but it would make me very, very happy because, and I remember the day they kicked Trump off Twitter, and I remember saying to my husband, this is a huge day. You know, he's not as politically invested as I am. And I said, this is a huge day. And I don't say that a lot. You know, I say that once in a while. I go, if they can do this to Trump, they can do this to anybody. And we've seen it over the past couple of months. We've seen the censorship of not disinformation, of real information that the liberal media elites are afraid is going to hurt their candidates, their guys. And now they're afraid that they might not be able to do that anymore, that the party's over. And it's just, it's something like this needed to happen so badly because we've tried before. We've had people try to make these platforms and it doesn't work. I've been looking at a lot of people's reactions today, and normally I steer clear of reading too many tweets, but I'm giving myself a complete break today because the best takes of this are on Twitter, and just goes to show you how big of a platform it is. And Tim Dillon, a comedian, wrote, "It'll be interesting to see what Twitter does. On one hand, money is money. On the other hand, social media isn't just about money. It's about social control. Fun to watch." That is one thing we can all agree on, is that this is very fun to watch. Unless you're Max Boot. Unless you're someone who's crying into their soup right now. And I think we're going to hear a lot about safe spaces, a lot about breakdowns. And Dagan McDowell wrote, "If the Twitter people could get in a hot tub time machine, would they reverse their absurd suspension of the Babylon Bee? I bet that was a tipping point for Elon Musk." He's friendly with the Babylon Bee guys. He's been on their podcast before. If you don't remember that, the Babylon Bee was suspended from Twitter for writing that Rachel Levine was their man of the year because she became woman of the year for USA Today. So they said that she was man of the year for them. And that's what got them taken off Twitter. And people have been taken off Twitter for ridiculous things. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to it. And what we were told at every step of this was, if you don't like it, leave it. If you don't like it, make your own. If you don't like it, learn to code. This is what they can do. You know, it's a private company. I know it's a public company in that sense, but it's not, you know, government run. It's a company, so they can do what they want. They make the rules. Well, I would say the same applies now. I don't see why now is any different. And we're going to talk to Brandon Morris about this. And I tweeted out at him today, and I was excited he's coming on the show. And he said he's going to try his best not to just laugh maniacally during the entire interview. Because people, it's really fun. It's fun for once. And I think this was kind of the appeal of Trump, was that it's fun for once to not feel like we're getting crushed. You know, that we're contenders, that we have somebody who, I'm not saying he's perfect, but nobody is. And at least in this one situation, he seems to be fighting on the side of freedom of speech. And I never thought, if you would ask me like 5 years ago, that these people, especially these so-called principal conservatives like Bill Kristol and Jennifer Rubin, that they would be actively whining about someone ensuring freedom of speech and ensuring that there's more voices that can be heard. You'll notice they have no issue with like these crazed lunatics who have YouTube channels and can say whatever they want, but they have a real issue with the thought of Tucker Carlson or the New York Post or anyone who's been smeared as like a Russian agent, of those people being on social media. And it just feels good to watch them squirm, I guess. That's the end thing. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will Twitter accept Elon Musk's offer?
My head says no, because we just had the Saudi prince say he rejected the offer. My head says no. And I always try to not get overly optimistic when it comes to anything like this. But my heart says yes, because we need it. You know, it feels like the pendulum needs to swing back. And this is a way to do that. So I'm going to vote aspirationally and say yes.
Only 38% believe yes. 63% believe no. Twitter will not accept Elon Musk's offer.
All right, let's go to the calls here. The number is 844-500-4242. By the way, one more tweet here. Reading an article about the problems with Elon Musk owning an entire media platform in the Washington Post, which is owned by Jeff Bezos. A lot of that hypocrisy was very, very available today on Twitter. You just had to scroll one or two and you'd see these hot takes. And these are the hot takes from like blue checks. But the hot takes from just rando like cat women who are Biden fanatics and hate Donald Trump, those were even crazier because they just want us all locked away. There's no doubt in my mind that that's their end goal. It's nuts. Pat, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Pat.
Oh, hi, Grace. I'm going to email Elon because I was lifetime banned from Twitter for saying something ridiculous about Nancy Pelosi, about her having, like, you know, alcoholism or dementia or something. But I will email him. I also got unblocked from Amazon Prime on the movie section and for commenting on buying stuff from Amazon. I was banned.
Wow, you've been banned from everywhere, Pat.
What's that about?
Wow.
No, because if you're a conservative, you get banned all over the place. Facebook bans, prison. But I made a comment about a movie that had something on, you know, it was a nice movie until it just went all, you know, LGBTQ. And I emailed Jeff Bezos and I said, you know what? If I can buy your products, but I can't comment on them, and if I can watch your movie and I can't comment on them, I'm just going to cancel my Amazon Prime thing.
Yeah.
And I spend a lot on Amazon Prime.
Well, I think too, and obviously, as far as what you've been banned for, saying stuff about Nancy Pelosi, I don't think Nancy Pelosi has any of those issues. But I will say that it's the double standard for what conservatives are allowed to say versus Democrats is insane. I mean, think about when Trump was president, the stuff people tweeted out, the vile, violent nastiness that is still tweeted out about Donald Trump and still tweeted out about conservatives. And they don't get any sort of like warnings on there. They don't take it down. They don't get thrown into Twitter jail. It's only conservatives. 844-500-4242. And by the way, libs of TikTok. That's the account that posts a lot of teachers and progressives who are melting down or talking about, you know, explaining their pronouns to their kindergarten class. That account just got suspended by Twitter over hateful conduct. And hateful conduct, could it be more vague? Could it be more broad? Hateful conduct could be whatever you want it to be. And this is the road we're going down. One of my favorite takes on this, which I have to kind of explain. Remember when the Trump administration came into the White House when the Obama administration was leaving and there was that photo of everyone from the Obama administration with scowls on their face? It was like Jen Psaki, Valerie Jarrett. They were all wearing black. It looked like they were all going to a funeral and they were just mean mugging. They were so angry that Trump's administration was coming into the White House. Someone posted that today and said every employee at Twitter right now. And I just think that's perfect. If you've ever seen that photo, you know it's true. They're so unhappy because they're used to controlling everything. Even when I go on Twitter and I look at the what's happening section, it's all things to try to make Republicans look bad. Like they're never saying, oh, Hunter Biden's laptop story ended up being true. Here's a link to that. No, it's all curated to make sure that you see the worst stories about conservatives and the best stories about Democrats each and every time. And that's just one facet of how biased Twitter is. And I love Twitter. I go on there all the time. It's the best way to get news. But I think the day that they decided to ban the New York Post or suspend the New York Post for a real story about Hunter, that was a turning point. That was absolutely a turning point. And there's been hundreds of them since then, big and small. Ronnie, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Hey, thanks as always for taking the call, Grace. My thought very quickly is, this is the greatest thing ever, that the same people that worship at the altar of electric vehicles, trying to force us all into electric vehicles, are now crucifying the number one maker of electric vehicles in the world as a racist. You know, all of this over free speech. Like, you just can't make up that kind of insane hypocrisy. The electric car people vehicle are crucifying the number one maker of electric vehicles because of a domain that he bought. I mean, I just can't get over it. It makes me smile from ear to ear.
It makes me smile, too. I haven't felt like this since Trump won in 2016. And we saw that meltdown from the media elite. We haven't even really gotten all the sound cuts of people because they're reacting to it right now. It's really kind of unfolded throughout the course of the morning. So we're going to be reveling in this for the next couple of hours because they can't hide it. They can't hide how dysfunctional they are and how broken they are from Donald Trump. This is all the fallout of Donald Trump. It was always there, though. this desire to control the narrative. And you saw that with the panel on disinformation at the Atlantic, like this, that we should be able, as liberal elites, we should be able to feed the information to the sorry people, and they should take it and they should believe us and they shouldn't question it. And over the course of the last couple of years, people have kind of opened their eyes to things. And that's why the censorship has been getting worse and worse and worse. And their reaction to the idea of there not being censorship is bonkers. Brian, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, yeah, I've got a question. Why do people still use the service? If everybody is getting banned, and it's all the conservatives that are getting banned, why are conservatives still using Facebook and Twitter and all the social media sites?
I hate to say it, Brian, but if I'm going to be honest, it's kind of a necessity. I mean, it's how people interact. I hate it. Don't get me wrong. But like, if I want to promote a piece I've written, if I want to try to get a guest on the show, if I want to see what's the latest breaking news, it's the place to go. It's where news is made and it's where news is shared, and it's just kind of the way of the world. Do I have that right, Jared? Would you agree?
Yeah, it's unfortunately in this information age a necessary evil for business or personalities.
And I was hoping that a lot of those more conservative platforms would take off, but they never did. It was too tricky because everyone's on it and a lot of people aren't going to leave it. Now here's a question back though. Will these liberals who are saying, if Elon Musk takes over Twitter, I'm out. I am leaving. I am leaving. I'm deleting it. I'm leaving it behind. Will they actually leave? I don't think so. I think I'm going to call their bluff. I don't think so. I don't think you're going anywhere. I think this place is all you have. I think you live by this sword and you die by this sword. 844-500-4242. We'll take all your other calls on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
Lou, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Lou.
How you doing, Grace? First of all, the liberals always were saying, the left is always saying that, you know, these are private corporations. They can do what they want. Now that the private corporation is owned by somebody they don't like, they don't like that particularly, that whole idea of a private corporation being able to censor what they want. But that's the whole thing. The whole thing is that, first of all, if the First Amendment is the First Amendment for a reason, that's the number one part of the First Amendment is free speech. The problem with the left is that it cannot defend anything that it stands for on a straight-out platform where it has to, like, be accounted by anybody else, by any conservatives or anybody else with free speech. And they don't like that. They want all the speech all for themselves. But what they've been doing, though, is allowing guys like that guy, the subway shooter, James, and all kinds of radicals to put out all kinds of violent free speech out, and it inspires people.
Right, right. And they don't care. And by the way, here's a tweet from Buck Sexton. It's a private company. It can do what it wants, they all said. Strap in, libs. It's going to get bumpy for you on here. All right, we'll be back with Brandon Morse. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.